Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour. Grateful you're listening to us from wherever on the planet you happen to be. This week, we are at EntreFest in Iowa City. And EntreFest is this amazing program that brings entrepreneurs and professionals from all over the country to learn, to teach, and to experience a networking adventure like you've probably never seen. And of course, when I came here, I said, hey, who can I talk to that's got some insight in the world of business and is really making a difference in people's lives? And the folks at EntreFest said, you got to talk to Sarah Young. So who is Sarah Young? Sarah Young created Zing Collaborative back in 2013, and she's also an author, and she's big on helping leaders better understand how to, well, lead. Sarah, welcome to the Business News Hour. Nice to have you here.
Thanks, Michael. Great to be here with you.
You and I rode down on the elevator earlier today because I remember the shoes. And, you know, we didn't say hello. But I'm so grateful that you're taking some time to visit with me about what it is you do.
I'm grateful as well and love how that came full circle from the elevator to now.
Isn't that wild?
Thank you. Yes.
There is nothing that happens by chance.
And we did say hello as we were exiting.
I think we did,
yes.
Just for the record. Yeah. Always friendly. Sarah, what do you do? Because there's a whole lot of stuff rolled into this, and it rolled into your book that we're going to talk about in just a bit. But what is it that drives you? And by the way, she's from Madison, Wisconsin, so she's an implant here in the great state of Iowa. What do you do?
So at the core of what I do, I really enjoy working with high-impact organizations, oftentimes organizations that are growing, to elevate the leadership capacity of their people and ultimately the organizations. So a lot of the groups that I'm working with, they're doing really phenomenal things. They're successful. They've had a lot of success in the past, and they're having a lot of success now, and they're looking ahead at where do we want to be and who is going to lead our company in 1, 2, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and how can we make sure we are investing in those people and investing in those leaders to not just be great at their jobs but also be really effective as leaders.
Now, when you first created your company back in 2013, nobody was talking about the pandemic. How has that altered what's going on in your world as you visit with organizations and leaders?
It's a great question. One of the big things that I have observed is some of the things that, you know, pre-pandemic were optional are now required. So we're seeing such a greater focus on mental health at work and overall well-being in the workplace. And prior to the pandemic, a lot of people and a lot of companies were thinking about that and talking about that, but not everyone. And what I'm observing is now that is a non-negotiable, and we're seeing that it is so critical that we are looking at people as whole people, not just as individual contributors or employees, but we really need to honor people for all of who they are at work. So that's something that I've been talking about and working with since 2013, but it's been really inspiring to see the way that, especially in the last couple of years, we are taking into account the picture of the whole person at work.
There is a continued call for workforce development. I don't know of a business out there that does not have that as its number one priority. If you were to sit down with a leader, and I don't care if it's nonprofit, for-profit, entrepreneur, what would you share with them that they need to put top-of-mind awareness in when it comes to recruiting and retention?
So I would say, first of all, the topic of workforce development, employee development, leadership development, it needs to be a strategic priority of the business. So it cannot be a side initiative. It cannot be someone's pet project. It cannot be even one team or one, you know, person working on it. It really needs to be a core priority of the business. So that's the first thing that I would say. And then from that place, how can we wrap that into the strategic priorities of the business? How can we budget for that? How can we plan for that? And how can we make sure that our corporate values and our corporate direction and our corporate vision are then trickling down to how we are developing our people and how we are developing our leaders? So that's the first thing that I would say. And then the second thing I would say is, you know, we hear a lot about the fact that there's a war on talent. And I don't know that I totally agree with that. So what I observe is great companies do not have a problem attracting and retaining talent. People want to work there. They always have and they always will. It's really how do we differentiate and how do we call forth those excellent people?
Yeah, and that is one of the things I think that some organizations are still struggling with. They're working off the old model.
Yes.
And the old model was, well, you pay whatever the prevailing wage is and expect people to do whatever it is, and productivity will take care of itself. But none of that is true anymore.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the things pre-pandemic that we were following quite a bit was the fact that the structure of a business needs to match the altruistic goals of many of the employees. Is that still a factor?
Absolutely. And the way that I think about that, and I typically advise people to think about that, is at the end of the day, we might not be aligned on every single thing. So it's not necessarily realistic to, as an employee, have every single one of our values expressed by our company. But hopefully we're able to express and live out a handful of our values and a handful of, you know, at least a handful of our values within the corporate setting. And what I'm observing more and more is that those are the kinds of things that people want. So more so perhaps even than that big salary is, do I have an opportunity to give back? Do I have an opportunity to do meaningful, purposeful work? Is this company a company that I believe in and that's, you know, giving back to causes? And is this a company that is investing in their people? And can I find and cultivate a sense of purpose through my work? So it's not that the company has to give us purpose, so to speak, but rather how can we align? Exactly,
right.
Exactly.
Meet my purposes.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
And I suspect, you know, we've been talking about that subject for years. And still, I see people trying to find employees all over the place. And they're doing it the same old way. You know, here's the job description. Here's, you know, and they say zippo, nothing about what their moral or ethical values are that might just come into contact with other people.
Absolutely.
Mistake?
Absolutely. And I love that reflection. And how can we lead with our purpose, our vision, our values in everything that we do, our communication internally, and like you said, the job posts, the things that we're putting out to the world for recruiting.
Everything.
Exactly.
Everything. Because, you know, so many times corporations believe wrongly that they are the creators of their brand. That is absolutely false, ladies and gentlemen. Your brand is created by your customers, your clients, those people who do business with you. They will identify where you are in their brand. You can help motivate and manufacture and massage that, but at the end of the day, if your business is not meeting what the consumer wants or needs or desires, good luck.
Do you think that sometimes that is a product, though, of the company not leading with their brand? So
yes.
Then if that is not strongly communicated, the customer or the client makes
up what
they think it is?
Correct. Correct. Absolutely correct. However, many times, many corporations don't exactly know what their brand is. They have an idea, and it might be this lofty thing, but it doesn't really mesh with what it is that they're doing. My guest, ladies and gentlemen, is Sarah Young, Zing Collaborative. She is all about helping to increase leadership potential, not only among leaders who are there today, but in the future. Do you do work with nonprofits?
I do some work with nonprofits, yep.
And how is that different?
You know, at the end of the day, related to the things that we're talking about, I don't think it's all that different, right? We have an inspiring mission that we're trying to rally around. We are all working in service of a shared purpose. And, you know, obviously in the for-profit sector, a lot of times we have more resources to work with to do that.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, I think about it as, you know, people coming together in service of a shared purpose, which we do, whether it's a nonprofit or a for-profit or a state agency or whatever it might be.
And you've recently authored a book. It is called An Invitation to Lead in Everyday Moments. It's called
Expansive Impact.
Expansive Impact. The tagline I just said, an invitation to lead in everyday moments. I love that tagline because leadership isn't just segregated to the C-suite or to the office, is it?
Absolutely. And that's the thing that I got really passionate about when I started my business was the things that people talked about when they talked about how they felt at work. They were always these tiny little interactions. So does my leader say good morning to me? Does my leader acknowledge me in the hallway? Does my colleague say hi to me? Those were the things that people talked about. They didn't talk about the big fancy initiatives. They didn't even talk about, you know, their compensation. They didn't talk about the fancy things that the company was spending sometimes millions of dollars on. They talked about those tiny little micro moments of every day and how those moments made people feel at work.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And those are the things, and again, here we come back to the whole idea of servant leadership, if you will, of the opportunity to engage with everybody. But that whole idea has taken a pitch forward or backward, depending on where you are, with the whole return to the office or the other side of the thing, work from home. How has that exacerbated the whole situation?
Yeah, it's interesting. So I work fairly regularly in manufacturing and construction where, you know, my clients have been working in person most of the last several years. Not a lot has shifted there. That said, a lot of organizations that I work with have gone to either a fully remote model or a hybrid model. So one of the models that I'm seeing work well is a hybrid model where maybe people come into the office 1 to 2 days per week. They have the autonomy and flexibility to work at home the other 3 days per week. And what I'm seeing and hearing from people is that offers a really nice mix of giving people the freedom to work in the way that they can be most productive from wherever that is, but then it also creates those serendipitous moments that we have, just like you and I had in the elevator this morning, where we connect with people in person in real life and have those moments of innovation or collaboration and also connection.
Yeah, you know, just a week or so ago, it was Elon Musk who said, you know, you're going to return to the office, folks, or you just don't return. And I guess the most wealthy person on the planet can say something like that, you know, because he's the most wealthiest person on the planet. But for the rank and file folks that are working out there who have now become accustomed to what? Working from home. Childcare is
Absolutely.
A big issue. I mean, educating the kids is a big issue. All of these things have really doubled down on this, what you called a hybrid working model, yeah?
Absolutely. And what I'm seeing and what we're seeing in the research is that in a lot of cases, it is allowing us to be more flexible and more productive. So not having that morning commute, that has had a huge impact. And then people can work in the way that, you know, they're best suited to work. And there was a great article written about people are not ready to leave their dogs at home. And I thought that it actually brought up a really great point that a lot of people are happier and are more productive when they can be working next to their dog. And not that that works in every environment and every situation, of course, but if in our company we don't actually need to be in person, it allows everyone to not only do their best work, but what I've seen as another benefit is it allows us to hire the best talent. So I have several clients that have gone from an in-person model to a hybrid or a fully distributed remote first model, and it has opened up their talent pool tremendously. So going back to our question about, you know, recruiting and hiring the best people, if we're feeling like we have a talent shortage, what if we consider opening up to a remote first model where we could hire not just the best and the brightest from our local community, but nationally or even internationally, to have a much wider funnel of top tier talent.
And how important is it? And we don't do politics on the Business News Hour. We do not do politics. Underscore that, ladies and gentlemen. We sometimes do interview people who are politicians, but always the focus is on business development. How important is it that states, wherever they happen to be in the United States or other countries, foster an open and welcoming place to live and work? I mean, when we're talking about talent development, it would make sense to me that we would be passing laws that are not negative, casting doubts on certain specific people, but more welcoming and open. Yeah?
Absolutely. And the way that I think about that is, are we welcoming all people from all perspectives, from all political walks of life, whatever it might be? Because what's been interesting to me the last couple of years is a lot of people on a lot of different sides of things have felt unwelcomed yeah. due to the majority direction of either their company, their city, their community, whatever it is. So wherever you fall, and depending on where you live or where you work, you may actually feel quite lonely and as though you're not surrounded by people like you. So I think that we can all play a part in that by welcoming others and cultivating curiosity and coming from a place of curiosity versus certainty, you know, cultivating understanding versus do I agree or disagree with you and therefore am I going to just write you off?
It is more important, I think, to ask questions and then sit back and listen
Absolutely.
Than what it is to preach. Our guest is Sarah Young, ladies and gentlemen, Zing Collaborative. So this book that you wrote, which is a relatively thick book, it looks like this is not necessarily an easy, quick read. What's the overall arching message there? I know we talked about leadership in everyday circumstances, but what are you trying to tell people or share with people that they should know to be able to benefit their leadership opportunities moving forward?
One of the key themes of the book is that leadership starts from within. So we might go out and lead other people and lead teams. And there's, of course, been a lot written on influence and impact. And those things are extremely important. And to do that effectively, we first need to start with ourselves. And we first need to start by looking inward. So there's a huge theme of looking within. There's a very big theme around self-awareness and doing our inner work so that we can then go out and be effective and, you know, have an impact with others. There's also a big theme of how can I create positive change even if nothing around me changes? So I'm not going to rely on other people to change their behavior. I can create different results within myself no matter what's happening around me, whether it's changing my mindset, my approach, or taking action in whatever situation it might be.
There are, however, many blockades to being able to do that because we can be stuck in a certain leadership role or model. And because it worked in the 1960s or 70s or 80s, it must work today. Some people just are never going to get it. And we understand that, okay? But those that are curious about how to create a better, more thriving, meaningful business that is able to recruit and retain, they need to do what?
First thing I would say is ask people. So what's working? What's not working? You know, what can we do better? Have a conversation, be curious, ask questions, and then we don't have to guess. We can get real data.
Yeah, yeah. Her name is Sarah Young, ladies and gentlemen. She is from Madison, Wisconsin. She is part of the whole speaking cadre here at EntreFest 2022, which is being held this year in Iowa City. So what do you think of the venue?
Yeah, it's fun. I like that they made the shift a few years ago to model it after South by Southwest to have it be more outdoors and bring in the local businesses. I think it really creates a different ambiance and a different environment when we can be more integrated into our physical surroundings. So I think it's great.
Yeah, and the other thing that I am so captivated by this entire experience is the number of volunteers that show up to be assistive with this. They have really decided to throw in with this whole NuboCo idea of empowering entrepreneurs no matter where they happen to be in the system. I think it's just wonderful.
Absolutely. That's something I've always appreciated about Iowa. I lived in Cedar Rapids for a couple of years, and when I was down in Cedar Rapids, I knew zero people when I moved down here. I had one neighbor who was a friend. I knew her, I guess. I knew one person, but I didn't know anybody. And when I reached out to folks and connected with folks, everyone was so welcoming, and that's something that continues to stand out to me to this day, just how open and friendly and welcoming folks in this general area oftentimes are.
We are all trying. God only knows. It is sometimes a constant battle. Sarah Young, thanks so very much for spending time with us. Good luck on the book and your continued success with your company. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me, Michael.
That, once again, is the voice of Sarah Young. She is the founder of Zing Collaborative and the author of the book, Expansive Impact, An Invitation to Lead in Everyday Moments. What a great conversation. So grateful that she took time to visit with us. And yes, we will have links to all of that on the radio blog. All right, stay with us because coming up next, we're going to take a look at what happened on Wall Street last week. And it was a big week. As Insight on Business, the NewsHour Week in Review continues here on News Talk 1540 KXEL.